the music. Cut the music.
I think I got my swagger back.
Spectacular group of men. You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Oh, the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone.
There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Like poison. Like rat poison.
Are you going to listen to me or are you going to listen to these guys?
And welcome to the College Football Country Podcast. My name is Josh Parcell, founder of College Football Country, cfbcountry.com. And don't forget to go leave a rating and review before we get started. If you're just checking out the podcast for the first time, the rules are simple. Go leave a review, 5-star rating, and you got to name your favorite college football player or the most random name you can think of. Honestly, I'd prefer the most random name. I want the craziest name. I want Porkchop Womack. I want Kenyon Rambo, Trunk Candidate. The names have been great so far. Once I hit 150, I will hand out that $25 Amazon gift card to one lucky listener. So leave that review, leave the name, and make sure you keep tuning in because as soon as I hit 150, I will hand out the prize on the pod. Now, we are recording this late Tuesday night. College football playoff rankings came out earlier tonight. If you're listening, this is probably on Wednesday or later. And if you loved Tuesday night, you're going to love the next 5 weeks. Who's ready for 5 more weeks of playoff ranking reaction? I know I am. We got a taste of it tonight, and the rankings went as such. Alabama, no surprise, of course, number one. Clemson number two, LSU three, Notre Dame four, the rest of the top 10, Michigan, Georgia, Oklahoma, Washington State, Kentucky, and Ohio State. I'm sure if you're listening, you've seen the rankings by now. I don't need to run through 1 through 25, but that's the top 10. And in my immediate reaction, I want to talk about a couple teams that I think are too high or too low. And I'll start with too high. Now, Iowa comes in at number 16 in these rankings. Now, look, Iowa's not going to be a factor in the college football playoff race. They are right now in the thick of things in the Big Ten West. But at the end of the day, if we want to discuss these teams, Iowa, to me, is a team that looks a little bit too high. Their best win right now, a 13-3 win early in the year over Iowa State. Now, the Cyclones are 4-3, barely sneaking into the top 25. That win doesn't do a whole lot for me. Look, I love the Cyclones. They had a great win against West Virginia a few weeks ago. It's not a bad football team by any stretch. Iowa State has played pretty well. But Iowa, that being their best win, there's a few teams behind them that have better wins or better performances to me than the Hawkeyes. Iowa does have good losses. They lost to Penn State by 6 this past weekend in a game that, honestly, Iowa had a great chance to win. And then they lost by 11 at home to a Wisconsin team that is unranked. So you got an 11-point loss at home to an unranked team for Iowa. There's a few teams I'll talk about in a minute that I think have a better resume than the Hawkeyes. And it's important because, you know, where Iowa is ranked late in the season could impact the Big Ten strength of schedule from the Big Ten champion strength of schedule, rather, whether that's Michigan, whether it's Ohio State. It could have an impact down the line. And that's really what you're talking about with any team past the top 10 or 12. You're just talking about resume builders for other teams and how you kind of stack these teams up against one another. It's more important for strength of schedule purposes for the true contenders than it is. It doesn't matter if Iowa finishes number 8 or number 15. As long as they're not in the top 4, it doesn't really matter as far as Iowa is concerned. It's more about how they impact those other teams in their conference. So Iowa at number 16 I think is a little too high. They haven't really put together a string of impressive wins. They beat Maryland 23-0. I mean, outside of the Iowa State game, there's not a lot that jumps off the page at me. The other team I think that's too high, and this one is a little more controversial, but I wasn't sold on Washington State at number 8. I think the Cougars have just been a great story. Had Gardner Minshew on the podcast last week. He was awesome. And it's exciting to see Mike Leach building a program that now all of a sudden is as good as any in the Pac-12. So it's a great story, and I think that Washington State still has a chance to make the playoff. But if you look at the resume right now, there's teams right below them, and I'll talk about one in a minute, that absolutely has a better resume than the Cougars. Washington State's best win probably the 28-24 win over Utah. Now, the Utes are playing very well right now. I nearly put them in my ranked too low category. They're at 15, and I think they could make a case to be a spot or two higher. So that's a great win for Washington State. It's probably the least publicized of their wins. I mean, they just knocked off Oregon and Stanford in back-to-back weeks on national television. Nobody really remembers that they beat Utah, but that is their best win right now. They narrowly escaped Stanford last week, had to come back from down 14 points in the first half, win that game by three, and that's not very impressive at this point. I mean, it's great that they came back and won, but Stanford is an unranked team, really struggling. You talk about some of the other teams in the mix in the top 10 that have played them. I mean, Notre Dame blew Stanford away, and I mean, I know that Washington State is several spots below them, but that win does not hold a lot of water to me, that Stanford win. So only one win for Washington State against a ranked opponent, and that leads me right into one of the teams that I think is too low, and that's Kentucky. Kentucky at 9, I mean, they absolutely deserve to be ranked ahead of Washington State. To be honest with you, they deserve to be ranked ahead of Oklahoma and probably Georgia as well. And if you think about Kentucky, if Kentucky was a traditional powerhouse, if Kentucky was a Florida, or if Kentucky was a Georgia, or an Auburn, or a school that we're used to seeing inside the top 10, I think they would be ranked number 5 or 6 right now. I think they have a better resume than Michigan, and Michigan came in at number 5. Kentucky has a tremendous win right now on the road, 27-16 over Florida. That win over Florida is a fantastic win. Now, it was 5 weeks ago, so people seem to have forgotten about it. But Kentucky being able to go into the swamp, win that game, it is huge. When you think about LSU, who right now checks in at number 3, they went into Florida and lost. Now, LSU, of course, has that great win over Georgia, and the Tigers deserve to be ranked over Kentucky. But, you know, LSU lost on the road to Florida. Kentucky went into Gainesville and beat them by more than 10 points. I think the Wildcats deserve a lot more credit for that. Their only loss was in overtime to Texas A&M. A&M right now checks in at number 20 in the poll. A&M also stood toe-to-toe with Clemson in College Station. So the Aggies are a pretty good team right now. Obviously, they lost to Alabama pretty badly, but that really not an indictment on the Aggies whatsoever. So it's a good loss for Kentucky. It's a better loss than Washington State's loss. Washington State lost to USC. Kentucky's loss to A&M is a better loss. Kentucky has that win over Florida on the road. That is a much better win than beating Utah at this point by 4. I mean, you have to compare those things side by side. If you talk about best win, best loss, Kentucky is clearly ahead of Washington State. They're probably, like I said, they're ahead of Oklahoma. Oklahoma's best win right now is Iowa State. Iowa State checks in at number 24 in these rankings this week. So Kentucky has better wins than Washington State, better wins than Oklahoma. Georgia did house Florida, so it's pretty comparable there. Georgia winning that game on a neutral site, Kentucky winning it by 11 on the road, I think that's almost a wash. So to me, Kentucky and Georgia very, very close. And again, Michigan probably at 5. I could see flip-flopping Georgia and Michigan, putting Georgia at 5, and then I would put Kentucky probably 6, Michigan 7, Oklahoma 8. I mean, I would tend to go that way just looking at the way those teams sorted themselves out in these rankings. Also, Kentucky blew out Mississippi State 28-7. Now, Mississippi State was struggling badly early in the season. Mississippi State's turned it around. Joe Moorhead has turned it around there. They lost 19-3 to LSU a couple weeks ago, and that was a dud for the Bulldogs. But they beat Texas A&M this past week, a nice win for them. So it's a rough and tough SEC. It's going to be a lot of teams in the middle of the pack trying to sort themselves out. But Kentucky blowing out Mississippi State, winning handily, I mean, cruising against Florida, that is so impressive to me. So Kentucky deserves absolutely to be in the top 6 or 7. I would even go so far as to say they could argue that they could be 5. And we'll find out this weekend. And that's the beauty of it, is they get to take on Georgia, who is number 6, and they get to try to earn a little bit more respect this weekend, a lot more respect this weekend. And that game is going to be really, really fascinating to watch. I actually think Kentucky's going to make that game fairly close for a while. Ultimately, I think Georgia wins that game late in the fourth quarter. The depth of Georgia is something beyond what Kentucky, I think, is going to be able to match. But you look at Georgia, they've struggled to stop the run. They have had their ups and downs on offense. Inconsistency on offense in certain games has hurt them turning the football over. Kentucky's got an elite defense. They have yet to give up 20 points, more than 20 points in a game. Only team in the country who has yet to do that. So this team does not get enough credit for what it's done defensively. Benny Snell is a terrific runner. I think that game is going to be a fun, not 3 yards in a cloud of dust, 8 yards in a cloud of dust, because those teams run the ball so well, but it's going to be a run-dominated game. I just think that Georgia's depth ultimately is going to wear down Kentucky, but I would not be surprised if the Wildcats are in that game late, and even that would earn a lot of respect just nationally. Not going to mean a lot when it comes to the playoff, but I think Kentucky has a chance to take a step forward, even in a loss, if they hang close with Georgia. It's going to be interesting if the Wildcats were to upset Georgia. How high would they go? I think they absolutely have to go ahead of Michigan. I actually think they could probably go ahead of Notre Dame if they beat the Bulldogs. So Kentucky's got a lot on the line this week. If they win, of course, they clinched the SEC East. That in and of itself is huge. And then you have a couple games down the stretch that look more winnable for the Wildcats. They could be 11-1 if they get past this Georgia game. They could be 11-1, and they're in the mix. I think Alabama would destroy them, but they're at least in the mix for the playoff heading into December if they can get past Georgia here. So I think Kentucky's too low. We'll find out more about them, of course, this weekend. Another team that I think is a little too low, and again, we're splitting hairs here. This is the playoff rankings. Any team outside the top 12 right now, you can forget about your playoff hopes. I do think Texas is a little too low. Now, look, I know Texas is coming off a pretty bad loss to Oklahoma State. The Cowboys have struggled at times this season, but the Longhorns have one of the best wins of the season over Oklahoma. I mean, that is a fantastic, fantastic win. And I know the Maryland loss isn't great. Terps have played actually pretty decent football. It's not an awful, awful loss. Not a good loss, but not an awful loss, okay? So I think that Texas has two decent losses, and the win over Oklahoma is enough for me to bump them up ahead of, let's say, Iowa. Now, this is the ultimate splitting hair. Iowa's 16, Texas is 17. Who really cares? I don't care that much, but if I had to pick another team, it's too low. I'm picking Texas. I think Iowa is actually ranked ahead of Texas, if you look at it, because they have better losses. It's not better wins. Iowa's best win is over Iowa State. Texas's best win is over Oklahoma. It's clearly Texas with the better win. They have identical 6-2 records. Iowa's losses coming to Penn State and to Wisconsin. Texas's losses coming to Oklahoma State and Maryland. So, of course, Iowa's loss is a little better. They're getting the nod because of who they lost to and how they played in those losses as opposed to the better win. I typically think that if all else is equal, you go to who has the stronger win. I judge teams more on their ceiling than their floor, if everything else is equal. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast, you've been following along with me for years, you know that I don't just knock a team down because they lose. I think losing to a great team is better than beating an average team, as long as you lose in a close fashion. And if you win a close game against an unranked team, I'd rather see you lose to a top 10 team. I actually think that's more impressive to me. I don't know, maybe that's just me. I like to actually watch how the teams play as opposed to just saying, oh, they won, oh, they lost, move them up, move them down. So I'm not going to just blindly say that, you know, a team with a 6-2 record deserves to be above a team with 5-3 or whatever. And Texas and Iowa here with identical records, very comparable resumes. If I was going to kind of break that tie, I would go with the better win. I want to know who at their best has the best chance to beat an elite team. Whose A game is better? How good is your good, is something Scott Van Pelt used to say. To me, if Texas and Iowa went out and played tomorrow and both teams played their A games, Texas would win. We've seen them play Oklahoma. We've seen them take on an elite offense and go toe-to-toe. I don't see that from Iowa. So to me, Texas deserves to be ahead of them. Again, doesn't really matter. The only thing I could see happening, I guess I was in this boat too, but more so Texas. If the Longhorns run the table and make the Big 12 championship game, and they still control their own destiny. They only have one loss. They have West Virginia this weekend. They win that game. All of a sudden, we're talking about Texas once again. An 11-2 Texas team would have a case if there are multiple two-loss conference champions. If several other teams fall back to the pack, which is not wild, not crazy to think about, an 11-2 Texas, I think, would be on the outside looking in, but they would at least be back in the picture. So don't write off Texas just yet. Still got a lot of talent. A huge test for them this weekend at home against West Virginia. I like the Mountaineers in that game, but if Texas were to get past West Virginia, they're at least back on the periphery of the playoff conversation. So the teams that I think are too high, Iowa and Washington State, and if I had to move teams ahead of those two, I would move Kentucky over Washington State and probably ahead of a couple others. I would move Texas over Iowa. Again, that one, not a huge deal. But that's my immediate takeaway as far as too high, too low. Now, the biggest surprise to me of anything in the rankings, the ACC got five teams into the top 25. That is amazing when you think about how bad the ACC has been this year. Now, there's a lot of conferences that are beating one another up. It's top heavy at every single league. The only league that I think that has a ton of legitimate depth is the SEC. I think even the Big Ten is pretty much Michigan, Ohio State, and I mean, is Iowa really that impressive to you? Is Michigan State or Penn State really that impressive to you? Like, I don't know that the depth in the Big Ten is all that great. I don't know that the depth in the Pac-12, I know the depth in the Pac-12 is not that great. The Big 12's got a little bit of depth there, but the ACC, to me, like, way down below those other conferences, yet they put five teams in the top 25. They're all in the back of the top 25. As you're watching the show and they release the teams, it goes in reverse order. So you see Virginia pop up 25. BC checks in at 22. NC State at 21. And lo and behold, the next panel flashes up the screen on the screen, and Syracuse is 19. The Syracuse Orange are 19. And I'll tell you what. Syracuse, people slept on Syracuse, including myself, and now they're finally getting the credit they deserve. Dino Babers has done such a great job there, and I will admit, you know, I thought when Syracuse went into Clemson, lost that game, I thought that we were going to see a very similar script to what's happened to Syracuse in years past, where, look, they play extremely well against the elite programs. Dino Babers, a master motivator. When they've got a chance to go in and pull off a massive upset, Syracuse is going to give you a game. But then when they take on the everyday, you know, the Pittsburghs of the world, they struggle. After that Clemson loss by 4 in Death Valley, they lose to Pitt the next week on the road by 7, and then they need to come back to beat North Carolina in double overtime. So I figured Syracuse coming back down to earth. But they play NC State. I don't think NC State's that great, but they win 51-41. They now have Wake and Louisville over the next 2 weeks. I think that Syracuse is going to be 8-2, and then they have Notre Dame and Boston College to finish the season. Now, Notre Dame's going to be in Yankee Stadium, Boston College on the road, so two big tests for them. But I give them credit. I give them credit for doing what they've done. The win over Florida State, not what it, you know, what it looks like on paper. Florida State is pretty darn bad at this point. But the Orange are playing good football, and I'm glad to see them being rewarded for it. 19 seems a little high, but I'm glad to see them in the top 25. I think that, you know, a point to make about really not just Syracuse, but Virginia and even NC State to a degree, Boston College. These are a lot of pretty average football teams in a significantly below average conference. And I don't want to go in my Virginia soapbox now. I'm going to save that for a later podcast. But Virginia has moderately improved. They're playing decent football against just a absolutely atrocious schedule. And I'll give them credit because they haven't let the bottom fall out from underneath them like some of the other programs in the ACC have this year. But I think that there's a balance there when you talk about who deserves credit for Virginia improving. Is this sustainable for UVA? Is this sustainable for Syracuse or even BC? These are not your traditional powers in the ACC. Florida State way down, Virginia Tech way down, Miami way down, even Louisville way down. Louisville is one of the better programs in the conference, and they're a disaster. So you're talking about four or five of the best teams in the ACC all having down years at the same time. I think some of those other programs haven't really taken big steps forward. It's just that the programs ahead of them have taken huge steps back in this season. I don't think that's sustainable long term. I think you're going to see Florida State rebound. I think they're going to be much, much better in a year or two. I think Virginia Tech's going to be much better in a year. Same thing. Not quite as strongly do I feel this way about Miami, but I do think Miami's going to be better. They're recruiting so well. And I think Louisville, if they can get the right head coach in there, can get back into the mix in the ACC much more quickly than some people might anticipate. So, great for teams like Syracuse, great for State, BC, UVA. At the end of the day, I don't know how sustainable any of those programs are for one reason or another. I think Dino Babers is probably going to find another job in the next year or two. He's not long for Syracuse. He's too good for that program. I think that NC State is recruiting fairly well, but I think there's a low ceiling on that program. And I think that Virginia it needs to recruit much better if it wants to keep up with Virginia Tech or with some of the other schools in the area who are just running circles around them recruiting. Now, the recruiting has taken a slight step up. I don't want to make this a recruiting podcast, but Virginia has recruited a little bit better. I don't think they've recruited well enough for me to feel comfortable saying they're here to stay. So we'll talk more about Virginia in podcasts to come for sure, because that's a huge storyline, certainly in the ACC. But good for the conference, getting five schools in. Never thought I'd see the day the way this league has looked for the first 8-9 weeks of the season. They did get five in. Of course, it's Clemson way up at number two, and then those four at the back portion of the top 25. If I had to rank my top six, I know I do the JP top 10 most weeks. Now I'm going to kind of pare it down as we get further and further into the season. We get closer to the playoff. Chase, my top six right now, based on resume alone, not based on where I think they'll be at the end of the season, I'll do that one in a minute. Based on resume alone, if I was doing my ballot for the playoff today, I would have Alabama one, close, but I'd have Alabama one. I'd have LSU number two. Now, LSU's win over Georgia, to me, is its ultimate trump card, because the Miami win early in the season looked great. Doesn't really look like much now. Miami has been awful. They just lost again to BC last Friday night. Miami is just backsliding week after week. So that win losing a lot of its clout for LSU, which is unfortunate for the Tigers because that was a great moment for them. And then the Auburn win as well for LSU losing its clout as well. Auburn unranked. So those two wins at the time were top 10 wins. Now they're unranked wins. That's huge in terms of what it's done to LSU's strength of schedule. But LSU went in and blew the doors off of Georgia. So that Georgia win, to me, vaults them ahead of Clemson. Clemson doesn't have a win that can come close to what LSU did to Georgia. It vaults them ahead of Notre Dame. I know Notre Dame has that win over Michigan, but that was at home by 7. I'm giving LSU more credit for knocking off Georgia, which was also at home, but by 20. I think the Bulldogs right there, that's them and Michigan, or you could throw them in a hat, toss them in around. Those two teams are very comparable. I think that LSU's win is better than Notre Dame. So I got the Tigers at number two. I do have Clemson at three. I'm buying in on Clemson week after week. They're starting to show me a little more. And to their credit, this is why when people yell and scream at me early in the season about a team like Clemson and me having them ranked too low, this is why you let the season play out. You have to let these teams play more games. You have to gain a clearer picture of how good some of these teams are, because we might think a team is great early on and then they turn out to be terrible, or vice versa. And what's happened with Clemson is actually almost the opposite of what's happened with LSU. LSU beats Miami early in the year. They beat Auburn early in the year. Those wins look great. Clemson barely beats A&M. We didn't think A&M was a top 25 team. They barely beat Syracuse. We certainly didn't think Syracuse was a top 25 team. Oh, lo and behold, all of a sudden, those two teams, Syracuse and A&M, are inside the top 20, and Miami and Auburn are outside the top 25 altogether. So again, Clemson has a very strong case to be number two. I don't think it's egregious that they vault ahead of LSU in the actual poll. I just think that again, when we talk about teams that are very, very comparable, I'm looking at what have you looked like at your best. LSU's best to this point has been better, in my opinion, than Clemson's best, and it's very close. But LSU beating Georgia by 20 at home is better than anything Clemson has done. Now, part of that is Clemson hasn't had a game like Georgia on its schedule where they can go out and prove, yeah, we can go out and take a top 10 team to the woodshed. And they won't have that chance all season long. There's nobody on that schedule that Clemson has an opportunity to do that against. But to me, LSU, that win over Georgia is better than anything Clemson has. The loss to Florida, to me, losing to Florida on the road by 7, pretty comparable to beating Syracuse at home by 4. Like, those are pretty, you could just kind of toss those in. Again, interchangeable, in my opinion. So I would, again, give a slight nod to LSU. Doesn't really matter. LSU plays Bama this weekend. I'll talk about that plenty in the next podcast. But for the time being, I have LSU ahead of Clemson. It's close. I'm not going to yell and scream at you if you want to put Clemson ahead of them. They're very close. Notre Dame at number 4 for me. I can't put Michigan ahead of Notre Dame. I have Michigan at 5. I'll tell you now, I have Michigan 5. I can't put Michigan ahead of Notre Dame. Notre Dame beat them. Not only did they beat Michigan, they did it with Brandon Wimbush without Dexter Williams. Wimbush is a decent quarterback. He's not Ian Book. Notre Dame's a much better team since Ian Book has entered into the lineup, since Dexter Williams came back. So, yes, Notre Dame deserves to be ranked ahead of Michigan. And then I have Georgia at number 6. So Notre Dame 4, Michigan 5, Georgia 6. Those are the 6 best resumes in the country to me right now. Now, there's several other teams on the outside that could get their way into that conversation, but for now, that's who I have in that top 6. Now, in terms of my final prediction, what do I think the playoff is going to look like? I'm going to do this every Tuesday night now after the playoff, as I'll kind of update my prediction for how I think the ultimate playoff field is going to look. I'm hoping that I never have to change it. I'm hoping what I tell you right now is what it looks like in a month and a half, because it means that I'm smarter than all of you. But just kidding. I do think that this is what's ultimately going to happen. I think it's going to be Alabama 1. I think Clemson's going to finish number 2. They're going to go undefeated through the ACC, 13-0. I think they finish number 2. I still think Michigan. I'm not sold on this, but I think Michigan's going to finish number 3. I think the Wolverines are going to get past Penn State this weekend. I think they're going to get past Ohio State at the end of the year, and they get past whoever they face in the Big Ten championship game. Right now, it's looking like maybe Iowa, it could be Purdue seems to play their way out of it after that loss last weekend to Michigan State. Maybe it's still Wisconsin. Like, there's some teams battling in the Big Ten West. That win's not going to be a resume builder for Michigan or Ohio State, whoever comes out of the East, but I'm going to tentatively say Michigan at 3. If the Wolverines win out, I think they would be 3. Number 4, I think, is going to be Oklahoma. You guys know I'm on the Sooner bandwagon. I still think this team is one of the 4 best in the country. The loss to Texas, to me, was a rivalry game, hard-fought battle. That game is always unpredictable. Texas played as well as they could possibly play, and Oklahoma still came so close to winning that football game with an amazing comeback. So I'm still on the Sooner bandwagon. I think Kyler Murray is as dangerous a quarterback as there is in college football. I tweeted this out on Saturday as I'm watching Clemson dominate Florida State. I asked if you had to bet your life on one team that could beat Alabama, who would you bet on? I got a lot of Clemsons. I would say Oklahoma. And I think that Clemson's probably a better football team all around than Oklahoma. I mean, they're more balanced. They've got a much better defense. They've got a good offense, a ton of weapons, probably more NFL talent on Clemson than there is on Oklahoma. But when you boil it down to a one-game scenario and you're talking about, well, Bama versus X, I think Oklahoma can score on more drives than Clemson can. And I think Alabama's going to score on anybody. I know Clemson's defense great, but I actually think Alabama could put up 40 on Clemson. That's not a knock against Clemson. I just think Alabama could put up 40-plus on Clemson just like they could anybody else. So if they're going to put up 40-plus on anybody, I got to ask myself, who is the most capable of putting up 40-plus on them? And I think that's Oklahoma. Look, Oklahoma's offense is out of this world right now. We know Kyler Murray is putting up Heisman Trophy caliber numbers, but you also have other guys on that team. You know, Rodney Anderson went out with an injury after week 2, and you thought that the Oklahoma rushing attack was going to suffer, but it turns out Lincoln Riley knows what he's doing. Trey Sermon is averaging almost 6 yards a carry. Kennedy Brooks, the freshman, averaging 12 yards a carry. Right now, the rushing attack for Oklahoma is so good, and of course you couple that with what they've done on offense with Hollywood Brown and CeeDee Lamb Kyler running the show. I think Oklahoma in a shootout has the best chance to keep up with Alabama. I don't think Clemson's defense is nearly dominant enough, although, I mean, the numbers bear out that Clemson's defense has been great. But I don't think that they could shut down or even slow down Alabama for that matter. I actually think LSU might have a better shot than anybody in that regard. So in a shootout, give me Oklahoma. I would love to see it happen. And in this scenario that I just predicted, if it's Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Michigan 3, Oklahoma 4, my God, that would be amazing, because you would get Alabama and Oklahoma in a semi that would almost certainly be in Dallas. You're talking about an Alabama-Oklahoma Cotton Bowl. Please, God, give me Alabama-Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl for a shot at the national championship game. And then you would have Clemson and Michigan, two outstanding defenses with very good quarterbacks. You got great running back play. Like, those teams are almost mirror images of one another. Clemson's probably a little more explosive offensively, but Michigan probably a little more dominant defensively. So teams very, very close. I would love to see Clemson, Michigan in Miami, and I would love to see Alabama, Oklahoma in Dallas. Please give us that. That's my prediction right now. The team I feel the least comfortable with in that whole scenario is Michigan, just because I think it wouldn't shock me to see Penn State knock them off. It wouldn't shock me at all to see Ohio State win that game. Even an upset in the Big Ten championship game is not out of the question. So Michigan, to me, I'm a little nervous about them. Oklahoma has a tough road. They still have to play Oklahoma State. They still have to play West Virginia, and they still have the Big 12 championship game as well. So Oklahoma's got a tough road. But I think that I trust the Sooners a little more than I trust Michigan right now, mostly because of Kyler Murray. So that's my prediction for the final playoff. And I'll get to plenty more in later podcasts. I'm going to wrap this one up now. You know, I didn't get a chance to talk about UCF. I'll talk about them plenty coming up. I think UCF needs absolute anarchy to have any chance. And even then, I don't think it's going to happen. I know UCF fans want to try to find a way. Reality is that the only team in the country hasn't faced a team with a winning record. It's outrageous how awful their schedule is. I'm very anti-group of five teams making a run at the playoff because, look, it's easy to get up for one game a year. I know UCF wants to point to Auburn last year and say, well, look, we competed with an Auburn team that played for the SEC title. You had a month to prepare for a team that had no motivation to play in that game, and you beat them barely. Good for you. But it's a lot easier to get up for one game with 4 weeks to prepare than it is to go through an SEC or a Big Ten or a Big 12 schedule where you might not be playing world beaters every week, but you're playing Power Five athletes. You got to go 85 deep in your roster by the end of the season. You have to have depth to sustain success throughout a 12-game season, unlike playing UConn and Temple in Memphis as your toughest opponent. I mean, it's not even close. UCF doesn't deserve it. I said I wasn't going to talk about them there. I gave you 2 minutes on UCF. So that's my thoughts right now. We'll talk more in the coming days and weeks, certainly about other teams. I had some thoughts on Notre Dame. I'll save that for another podcast. We'll have more coming up later this week. I'll have By the Boat coming back. Great week last week. We're 8-4 in the last 2 weeks. Back over 500 for the season. Super excited about that. So the gambling picks are catching fire at the right time. We're peaking at the right time. Get on board now or get left behind. And if you missed last week's podcast with Reese Davis, I highly suggest going back to check that out as well. It was an awesome interview. We didn't talk for 2 seconds about football. Just talked about College game day and what it's like to have the best job in all of college football and all of sports media. I could not be more jealous of him. I fanboyed out a little bit. I'm sorry, but I'm not really sorry, because he's got the coolest job in the world and he's the nicest guy in the world. And I hope you guys enjoyed that as much as I did. So go check that out if you didn't have a chance. I'll have a podcast later this week with gambling picks, talking ACC football as well. Maybe a few playoff thoughts if you got them. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast. 5 stars on Apple. Once I hit 150, if you have the most creative name, best name drop wins the $25 Amazon gift card. Go do it now. Thanks for listening. I'll see you guys later this week.